Changes. Changes hard. All right, here comes a thing. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dettis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living, and today, yet another bicycle love story.
That's right. We are in the studio with former guest Aaron Green.
Hello.
Author of We Were Like Sons.
That's right.
Yes. And your partner in crime.
That's
and
right.
In life. Are they
forever.
The same thing? Jada, how are you?
I'm doing great.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
You both embarked on a large journey, and it's good to have you both with us. So we're gonna tell that story in just a couple minutes.
Cool.
So thank you for joining us. You've got some beverages.
We do.
Excellent.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Feel
Thanks
free
for
to chime
us,
in as you wish.
Yeah. Good. And ask for more if you want.
That's right.
Be careful with that.
Because if there's one place that always has more of what you love, it's the beer mongers in Southeast
yes.
Division as well. Ah, Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
What's new with you?
Well, I'm not sick or dead.
Okay. Were you sick or dead before?
Well, I thought I was going to be one, and I was definitely the other.
Ah.
Wait.
Strike
I think
that.
I got
reverse it.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Gene Wilder. Are you... What kind of sick were you feeling like?
So, Thursday night, Friday morning, about 3 a.m., let me tell you, there's nothing sadder than walking a quarter mile or so to the nearest Plaid Pantry to get yourself some Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, that kind of sad.
Because you know it's open.
And sick.
Right.
Yikes. I'm sorry
yeah,
to hear
shame.
That.
Yes.
Yes.
It's fever and everything. Like, you know, the stomach issues all aside, and I won't, like, gross anyone out, but, like, the fever was crazy bad.
Whoa. I haven't had a fever in a long time.
No, me neither.
What was the cure?
Just more blankets.
Okay.
And, like, just lying down.
This man needs more. Have you seen Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story?
Yes.
Adele and I watched that recently.
Oh, okay.
Have both of you seen that?
No.
Okay. It's a great parody
you should
of
watch it.
Musical biopics. But the classic, it's like, you know, there's one of those trope scenes from every musical biopic. Any film about a musician has all the scenes, and one of them is like the, you know, in rehab scene.
Right.
They're like thrashing around in the bed. I'm so hot. Doctor, he's too hot. This man needs fewer blankets. I'm so cold. Doctor, he's very cold. He needs more blankets. I'm hot and cold at the same time. Doctor,
well,
does he need
thing.
More
he's
blankets
like...
and fewer blankets? I'm afraid
like,
so.
You know, I'm hot to the touch.
Yeah.
Like, Anna honestly was like, we should maybe think about going to see a professional.
Right. Did you go to see a medical professional?
No.
Okay.
Like, I was hot to the touch, but, like internally, I was, like, feeling like I was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, just keep putting more blankets on me.
Okay.
She's like, no, it's too, you're like, burning up.
Sure. And that didn't, or did it do the trick?
I don't know. I think just really time is the only thing you can do. Just kind of continue to lay down.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You just you let it
fluids
go its course.
Laying down.
You got to take care of yourself because
that was one of the things I was thinking. Well, I guess I could watch something, but you know, when you're like you got like 101 fever or so, like even opening your eyes and like. Like, I had all the lights off. I had the windows, like, covered.
Yeah.
It's just, like, any amount of light was too much for me.
Yikes. That's kind of scary, in a way.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, yeah. You seem okay now.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
I heard there's a thing. Was this preceded by a scratchy throat?
No, it was not.
Okay.
It is post-seated by a scratchy throat.
Oh, really?
Yes. Is that a word?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it came after.
All right.
It was an antecedent to your flu.
Okay.
I guess.
It was an antecedent to the descendant.
Right.
Okay.
Sure. I'll go with that, since it sounds,
sounds
smart.
Good. Is the writer in the room cringing yet?
That's true.
Sounds good to me.
You know the English language.
Pre and pro, right?
Right.
Okay. Or post-seed? That's post. Not a word.
The post-decedent.
So, I think you guys had it.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're feeling
okay. What
were
we saying? Oh, yeah.
You were sick and you're better now.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Also, Tito was in town.
Oh, yeah. Your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. With the family.
Hey, Tito.
It was cool.
Nice. I never see that guy.
He ran a half marathon, him and
his
wife.
He always comes to run a marathon, and I never see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your ass up to Vancouver.
I guess that's the thing, yeah. Did you go to Vancouver?
I went to Vancouver.
Did you bicycle across the river?
I did not.
The fair state of Washington?
We took a get around.
Okay. You rode a car.
We knew we were going to be there all day.
Nice.
And, you know, we wanted to have a car to be able to, like,
get around.
Hey, yeah. That's where they got the name.
The peer-to-peer car sharing service.
Yes.
Yes. And we talked with the fellow who worked with that some time back, 3 years ago.
That was back in your apartment, wasn't it?
Yeah. We've been a lot of places. We are coming to you straight from the center of
the
bread baking district.
Outpost.
Yes. For here. A short time longer, we will be here, and then the trailer has to move. But we are inside of Stream PDX, an Airstream trailer, with a podcasting studio inside, which is cool. We may be bringing some announcements about that at some point that, you know, because we're in this trailer and it needs a place to live, we may need to raise some funds to find a place for it to live.
Hey, Portland residents, do you have a giant warehouse you're not using?
Right. That'd be, I mean, it's worth putting it out there. If anybody knows of rentable spaces that are secure and be a good place for a podcasting studio to live, we do need to find a place eventually. But we'll bring more details about that when the time comes up. So, yeah, I did a little bit of a dressing of envelopes. I packed some patches into envelopes. You finished packing the patches in.
Those envelopes, by the way, they were like peel and seal.
Yeah.
Not lick and seal for anybody who's like worried. Maybe I was contagious.
That's right. You can safely eat the envelope that this patch came in without getting Aaron's flu.
Well, I won't say I didn't lick the envelope. I'm just saying. Like,
you didn't have to.
I didn't lick it.
You just
to
had
seal
to be sure.
It.
Okay.
Yes.
For other reasons.
Lick.
Yeah, but we've been mailing those patches out. All the happy and probably lucky recipients have been getting patches in the mail. I think we're about a third of the way through our donors list. And
that's it?
Yeah. No, wait. Two-thirds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're farther in than we need to be out.
Okay.
I think. So, yes. We did put out some guidelines about, I mean, you know, you're an adult. Put the patch wherever you want.
Yeah.
But on your like around your breast pocket, you know, or slightly above.
Sure.
On your arms.
Sure.
Around the, you know, the bicep. And perhaps
bicep deltoid, like maybe where, like in around that area.
Not on the forearm of the jacket.
No, that
doesn't right
look
out.
Good.
Yeah.
Nope.
And then in the center of the back of your jacket or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, again, you can put them wherever. I suppose we're going to get to the mail in a bit where people have been putting their patches.
If you have a battle jacket, you know, in the back of your battle jacket would be nice.
And if you've got a battle jacket, I mean, you could put it. I mean, you know, you've been in battle. You could do whatever you want. So,
well, you already know where to put the patch. If
right.
You've already got a battle.
Right.
Jacket.
You don't need to consult us.
Yes.
Can I ask what other articles of clothing are appropriate to put the patches on?
Ooh,
Your bag.
On your bag.
Yeah. Yeah. If you
my favorite article of clothing.
A satchel. I guess that's not really. I mean, we're. Accessories.
If you're Jonathan Mosder in the World Naked Bike Ride, then
that is an article.
That is his article of clothing. Yeah,
his bag,
his camera bag.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes, but what? Shirts probably okay.
Yeah.
Pants.
I don't know if that's really. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But,
again,
right.
But really, like, do you want to like t-shirt?
Well, not a t-shirt
with this like hardy patch on it.
I would say it has to be a collared shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Shirts, jackets. What else? Caps?
Maybe. I'm reluctant to say yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think it depends on the cap. I mean, if you have questions, send them to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
For all your style needs.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So anyways, that's all in process. I did meet up with listener EJ, and he came out to this show. I was watching a local musician, Tony Furtado, at the Kennedy School. He was playing a free show. And so EJ and EJ's wife came out. We had met them camping at Stubb Stewart, and they came out and enjoyed music and drank beer with us. And so I gave him a beer. I didn't give him a patch because I didn't have any left, I think. Anyways, so if you're in the last third of the donors list, your patch is coming. And if you've been a donor in the past and you're still a listener, or if you've been a listener and you've never been able to afford to donate and you want a patch, get in touch. We'll figure it out. So,
yeah.
You could be a donor for 1 month. That's all.
You could be a donor for one root beer.
You could do whatever you want. But yes, we're super excited to get these patches. They are of limited supply. I think by the time we're done, we're going to have like 15 left over or something.
Okay.
So snap them up while they're hot, folks. If they're super popular, we'll do a second run.
I should make sure to count out what we have for the donors.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a spreadsheet all figured out. Yeah. I was worried about that.
Well, I want to set those aside before I just start. Okay.
Before, yes, willy-nilly and such.
I didn't even give them to my own family.
that was generous.
Well, now I feel bad that we held you up for a couple of them earlier.
Like, no.
You're like our family.
Oh.
Yeah.
Besides, I kind of feel like I owe you. After,
you don't. Like,
after holding on to these stickers for
one
like
thing.
A year.
It makes it that much more awesome that you gave me an envelope that was...
addressed to
it
you.
It had the look of... time in a bag.
It's an envelope full of intent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Aged perfection.
Yeah. There you go.
The only other thing I wanted to say was that I don't really like riding bikes in the rain. I did my commute this morning, and
yeah.
I did commutes last week. I went on a ride with Adele on Sunday, and we climbed like 1,300 feet, not 13,000.
I was about to.
Yeah.
You went up Mount Hood.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we climbed just enough to feel good about going out for brunch afterwards, and that was okay. But then it started raining, so I took the max, and I shortened my ride home because I don't like riding in the rain. I think it's about time I admit that. Maybe I've said that before, but. Well,
can I confess I've been taking the max home?
Does it need to be a confession?
Well, okay. I feel like I need to confess it to you.
Let me absolve you now. It's okay.
You.
If you find a mode of transport, I'm just saying there are other methods besides needing to own a car when it starts to rain. There are many ways to get around town, including get around. Or car to go or reach now or any of those other great options.
Or TriMet.
Or TriMet. TriMet is my raincoat.
TriMet is my raincoat.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyways, I did the Brown Bear show on Saturday night.
Oh,
we
yeah.
played a bunch of music and it was a lot of fun. I like doing music. I want to do some more of it. So just thought I'd put that out there. So anyways, that's pretty much it. Before we get into this this bike tour that you guys did, we did mention the Beer Mongers, Southeast Division and 12th.
We did.
They are a fantastic option. If you need to buy beer, you should go there. They have all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there are many, many times when you want something special and you can't get it just anywhere.
Also, there are many times where you don't know what you want. And you'll find it there.
That's right, yes. You show up, and your desires will show up with you.
It's interesting, because the soda, like their soda selection is right near, well, it's in the same cooler as like all of the rare beer selection.
Yes. Well, soda itself is quite a rarity. Craft soda.
Yes.
Surge?
Every now
are we talking
then
about
I'm...
Surge or...
okay, soda?
Jolt. Whatever. Yeah.
Jolt.
Yeah.
What was it, Git?
Kick.
Oh, Kick.
Yeah.
Was that another double, twice the caffeine?
It was,
brand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
just
wow.
another one of those. maybe it was only in Michigan. I don't know.
Nice.
But every now and then I'm selecting a soda and there'll be somebody who like just finds themselves there and they're like, oh, wow. And, you know, it's like this sort of surprise of like, I didn't know like they had this kind of beer or whatever.
It's like an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For example, right now I am drinking the Wingman Brewers P51 Porter, an Imperial Porter. If you like a thick, dark beer during these rainy months, you could find it at the Beer Mongers.
Yes.
Southeast Division and 12th. And they have a big stick hanging from the ceiling. There's always a seat for you. And they show
all
sporting games.
Yes.
Live with sound. Yes. So, yes, go to the Beer Mongers. It's a good place to be. So you two have not been to the Beer Mongers in some time. You've been on the road.
We have.
And you're so cute and married.
Oh, we're so married and cute.
Tell me about this trip. What was the genesis? How did you decide to take a bike tour together?
Okay. He's looking at me, so I guess I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to go on, for our year anniversary, we wanted to go on a trip somewhere. And first we were talking about Europe, and then we were just like, you know, that there was nowhere in Europe calling to us, which I know sounds weird. Mm. But we realized...
No. Did you have
no,
Europe?
That's totally cool. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
We were honestly trying to talk ourselves into it.
Yeah,
we were like talking about places that would be cool. So we went to Powell's and we like picked up books and sat in the coffee area and like we're flipping through them and trying to get excited about Iceland in particular.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, we had a good friend who went to Iceland.
It's all the rage nowadays.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, global warming, it's like not quite Iceland anymore.
Right.
But anyway, so I could tell there wasn't tons of excitement on his end, and I was just kind of like trying to make it work because I've been to Europe for a period of time, and so is he. So then I realized, you know, we're young, even though we're in our 30s. I'm trying to like, we're still young. We should go on an adventure anniversary. And so he's gone on, you know, a lot of bike tours, and I've only gone on like one-nighters.
Oh, so this trip to Europe was just going to be a trip to Europe. It wasn't like a bike.
Well, we were trying to find a way to make it work, to make it a bike trip, and then we realized it just got complicated.
Okay.
So then one day, I'm like, why don't we just go like bike down the coast to like San Diego? And automatically, Aaron was like, yes, I want that.
It was like she said the magic word, and Pandora's box was opened.
He's already planning it like 5 minutes later.
I was like, yes, that is.
So then hatched our Team Green Tour. That's what we're calling it.
Nice.
Team Green. Okay.
Team Green.
Nice.
And it was my first long distance. I mean, I've only ridden like 60 miles in a day, like bike camping. And so this was my first, like, more than 100 miles in 2 day ride.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why not?
Because you've done a lot of bike camping with, like, with Adele's Dream Team, for example. There's been a lot of those where she gets friends together and takes them out. And, Aaron, you've done a ton of touring, some of which you wrote about.
Yes.
as I remember, in what was that book called?
That is called We Were Like Sons.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding me.
Still available at Powell's, last time I checked.
That's right. Yeah. And Jada, you had an idea to do a coastal bike tour some years back, I remember, because I remember you talking about that.
Yes.
And just, and you really wanted to do it, but and then it turned out like nobody went with you or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was supposed to go with a friend who was from L.A. who was going to come up and bike down with me because I don't feel super confident if my bike fell apart. Not that I was planning on it falling apart, but if something happened mechanically or whatever, I was like, I don't know if I could fix it. So he had to back out, so then I didn't want to go by myself. So I just kind of put it on the bucket list, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh.
So so this was kind of finally 5 years later my chance to do a bike tour.
There we go. Nice. And so it's nice to kind of bring things to fruition, right? Because like this is something you've wanted to do and now it's actually real.
Totally. And I have someone who knows how to fix a bike if something happens. Which something did happen in day two.
Really? So what happened?
My spoke broke. Right?
Yeah.
Like that's what it's called.
Yeah, we had a broken spoke, which is somewhat rare. It had never happened to me before, and it happened on her bike. And so, fortunately, we were in Corvallis at that point. So there was, you know, there was a handful of bike shops there. So we
it's a college town.
Yeah, college town. So we stopped at a coffee shop, got some coffee, took the wheel over, got it worked on. It might take an hour or so, because they had to true the wheel after they had replaced the spoke and everything. So, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
Okay, so you didn't fix this yourself?
I didn't, because, I didn't bring the tool to take off the cassette.
Oh, the rear wheel.
Oh, yeah, it was the rear wheel.
Okay.
Which makes it all the more challenging.
Yeah.
If it was the front, it would have maybe been possible, but we would have still had to buy the spokes. I didn't bring extra spokes.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Jada, when that happened, what were you thinking?
I had no idea what was going on. All of a sudden, I'm like, something's happened to my bike. Like, it was making weird noises, and all of a sudden, it just got very difficult to ride.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And so,
because the wheel's out of true, it's probably like,
because I was like, I don't have a flat, so I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, it's your spoke. And I was like, noted. Good to know.
Yeah. Wait, so were you actually in town when it happened, or were you approaching?
We had just rolled in.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Like, just got in.
It was like, we were, I don't know, 5 minutes from the bike shop when we noticed that it had happened to your wheel.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Perfect
timing. Yeah.
Because we were about to roll into no man's land pretty quick after. So
right.
Nice that it happened.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got it fixed. That's good. It's nice to get those things out of the way. Are those the wheels that came with the bike originally? The ones you were rolling on? Okay. Because I have, you and I both have,
do you have
a Coda?
No, I have a Jamis Satellite Sport.
Jamis Satellite, that's right. I have a Jamis Coda, and I remember my wheels also complained heavily when I went bike touring with them.
Oh.
So I'm glad you made it.
You've been through wheels like
I go through a lot of wheels. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. At least I used to. We'll see. Now that I'm biking less.
A little bit more hope. Oh, you're biking less.
Yes.
Oh, right.
And I have sturdier wheels, but I just remember a lot of spokes popping on my wheels back in the day. So, and actually not too far from there. Mine happened on the coast near Florence. So, you guys ended up out in Florence,
We know Florence
we did.
Very well.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Florence on the Oregon coast. Anything notable happened there?
Well, we took an unplanned day off.
Okay.
Because I was having some random Achilles issues.
Ooh.
Because I actually got my bike fitted, but my seat was still too high.
Oh.
So I assumed that it was good, but it actually wasn't. And I was having a lot of pain, and I was like, what is going on? And so we got to Florence, and I just needed a day because walking hurt and biking hurt.
That's no good.
So I took a day, had a really great omelet at the Brown Hen. Anyone should go
the Brown
there.
Hen.
It was so bomb.
When
it had
you're in
cream
Florence.
Cheese in it and
what?
Other cheese.
Cream cheese and other cheese,
cheese
in an omelet.
In the omelet. It was
This is
sounds super weird. If you don't like dairy, sorry for you, but it was really amazing.
If you like diner food,
yeah.
It's not like a greasy spoon diner type place. It's like a couple steps above that, but it's excellent. Portions are sizable and
love and life.
It's very tasty.
Very cool.
Which when you're biking, you want something with sizable portions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
And you want greasy things too. Let's be honest.
You want all the unhealthy things. Which is sweet because you're burning thousands of calories.
Yes.
You can afford it. Yeah.
You can afford it.
Right.
That's a great way of thinking about it.
Have you guys, adjusted back to the lower caloric needs of ordinary life?
It's so hard.
You're hungry all the time.
Yes. Last week has been so rough. I've been so hungry.
Maybe as of just today or yesterday, it's felt like more normal. How have you felt? That's for me. How have...
I don't know. Even today, I still felt kind of ravenous. And the guilt is coming in. I'm like, I'm not moving hardly as much. So... dang it.
I've heard that guilt is not a great motivator, but it depends on, I guess, what motivates you. Yeah, but really, don't feel guilty about it. Just, do what you must.
Let your body adjust.
There you go. Yes.
I know that's always my biggest problem at the end of summer because I'm done with like an adventurous season and then suddenly I get huge. So I've tried to stave that one off this year, but it's tricky because, you get used to like, do you have a calorie count by any chance or was it just like, hey, we can eat all the food?
Did we count our calories?
We didn't count our calories.
No, I told, in no means.
Taking a break from thinking about food. I was going for it. I was like, at first I'm like, I'll eat really healthy on this bike tour. That stopped after like day four.
Right.
Like, who cares?
So what was your, obviously the Brown Hen is up there on the list. Are there other good foods you ate on the road that stick in your memory?
You go ahead.
No, I.
Oh, so we, ended up in Klamath, California.
Okay.
Which there's nothing, FYI, except a casino, which anyways, we went into the casino and they had a
buffet.
No, there was this normal restaurant, but the burger was so bomb. It was so good. I was actually quite surprised.
Like an enormous hamburger.
Yeah. Remember we were like, this is really good.
Do you think it was flame broiled or was it fried?
Flame? I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was a big, thick, juicy hamburger.
It was beef.
We got a free salad bar with it. Which
free salad
cool.
bar.
Yeah. Ah. So.
They give you those really tiny plates that you then turn into like a massive pile because you're like, how much can I fit before things fall off the plate?
Well, that's the problem with most salad bars is that it's like a one pass through. Did you only get one pass through?
Yes. I made a very high three-story salad.
You put the saltine on top and just kind of hold it together.
Well, yeah, you build a little structure and then you can... put more on top of that.
Oh, I just remembered San Diego. Oh my God. If you're in San Diego, this is at the end of our trip.
Which is where we stopped.
We're skipping. Yeah. But we went to Breakfast Spoilers. Republic.
Breakfast for the public?
Breakfast Republic.
Republic.
Breakfast. They have Republic. Jurassic Park bacon.
What does this
which
mean?
Which is actually brown sugar and paprika, like cooked and candied. I don't know, but it's the food was phenomenal. We were both like, can we just come here every day? Or, see, now you talk about food.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's
there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Hash House a Go-Go. I kid you not. The plates are like, what is that?
You could fit a small turkey on these
foot
plates.
And a half, a newborn baby.
Yeah, your hands are about the width of your handlebars right now.
Yes. So actually, we were like looking around and all the portions were massive.
Wow.
So you have to share it with at least one other person. But
you have
they
to?
Would walk out. I mean,
you don't have to. But
do you guys have to have that discussion?
We
could
just sign a waiver on your way in.
I like sharing. Okay, on the trip,
that's
he
a whole
not,
other thing.
On the trip, he wanted his own. But we did share this place.
Well,
it was
yes.
The size of a child.
It was two adult sized portions. Definitely.
Yeah.
On for breakfast.
And they had a BLT Bloody Mary. So
yeah.
I, of course, got that too.
Wait, bacon, lettuce, tomato, Bloody Mary?
Yes.
Was it tomato juice?
Like for drinking.
Well, here's the thing, people.
Yeah.
They give you a slice of, they give you a little slice of bread on the outside. and they give you a mayonnaise packet. And okay. And then they give you a glass with tomato juice that yes. has a leaf in it, lettuce.
Okay.
The bacon's in it. And then you are supposed to make a sandwich. And they actually have tomato. So,
I guess you could like dip your...
Yeah. It's kind of like a grilled cheese, yes. but not a grilled yeah. cheese. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Or and BLT.
It's a Bloody Mary, so there's also vodka in
yes.
the... Okay,
yeah.
good. No, want to make sure.
Okay.
You didn't mention it, so I'll,
oh, yeah.
you know.
I just assumed the Bloody Mary vodka part.
Brock was getting nervous. Somebody mentioned alcohol.
It's a virgin Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
It's one of my favorite airplane drinks is the Bloody Mary mix. Because it's super tasty.
With no alcohol.
Well, there's no, yeah. And I don't usually buy alcohol on the plane because it's super expensive.
Yeah. Is that why you get Tabasco and tomato juice?
Basically. Yeah. But that's why you get super hammered before you get on the plane. Then you don't need to buy any. Yeah.
It mixes in the stomach.
It does. Right. Well, that's cool. So you had a couple of great places, including the baby size meal,
yes.
which that's pretty fantastic. Aaron, did you think of other things that you enjoyed food-wise?
One does stand out, definitely. It was a pulled pork sandwich in San Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the place.
Hearst Ranch.
Yes,
Hearst Ranch.
San Simeon
as in Patty Hearst.
Is she related to the Hearst Castle family?
Yes. Okay. As in Xanadu.
As in, she was the, well.
You can tell we didn't look into any of that.
Spoilers, Rosebud was his sled. Yeah.
Yeah, Hearst, what was it again?
Ranch.
Hearst Ranch. It was sort of like, okay, so we also found, this is sort of a funny story, we were sort of a half day behind, and, you know, sometimes you have to jump on a bus. By the way, I was wanting to say, if anyone is a bike touring purist, what you will hear us talk about with our other forms of transportation down the coast.
Bleeding ears now.
You may want to stop listening now, or skip to the headlines. So anyway, we were riding to San Simeon, and then we were catching a bus... Yeah, a bus to San Luis Obispo that day. So it was sort of a half riding, half busing type of day. So we pull into San Simeon, or what we thought was San Simeon, which is the very northmost part, and it's got this kind of historical mission-looking building, and right across the street is this Hearst Ranch
winery
restaurant type place.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a little corner store there too or something?
It's just a little restaurant, and then the wineries, they're like sharing the same
space. They share the same building.
Okay. Because I feel like you and I were there, Aaron, back in the spring break of 2013.
The Hearst
Ranch? I think we might have been close to it, but I'm not sure.
I don't actually know if it was the ranch, but it was called Hearst Ranch Winery, and I, for the life of me, can't remember the name of the restaurant that it's attached to.
Yeah. So there was like a sort of a barbecue type burger place in the same room, which is kind of random with the winery, which the wine was really good. Yeah.
But you don't usually think barbecue and wine together.
You don't.
No.
Yeah.
But you should.
I wouldn't think BLT and Bloody Mary together either.
That's a good point. Anyway, long story short, their pulled pork sandwich is fantastic.
And
nice.
Huge.
Nice.
Win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason I say that it's sort of funny, the funny story is we were trying to catch our bus in San Simeon. We found out that actually San Simeon is like 5 miles further, and that is just sort of like the northern point. The actual town was further down, and we wound up like having to catch the last bus, which is sort of risky. It was like, you know, later in the evening, and
did you have like a contingency? Well, I guess we could like put a tent up in the park.
I mean, we were thinking like, I guess we can't. They actually had to make a special trip for us.
Oh, really?
Kind of felt bad about.
Wait, did you call them?
We called them, and we didn't know that you had to... Well, basically, we called them. They were expecting to pick us up in San Simeon. We thought we were in San Simeon. We weren't.
We're like, we're waiting for you at the barbecue
We were at the barbecue winery place.
There's nothing else here.
Weren't you going to pick us up here?
Literally, there's nothing else in that town.
There's
like,
nothing
the
else
weirdest
there.
Town
she's
ever.
Like, she's like, aren't you by the bus stop, by the place with the TVs out front? And I was like, I don't see anything around here. It was like an appliance thrift store or something like that.
You're not by the old Jenkins barn that burned down 10 years ago?
Right.
You don't see Auntie Sue on the corner?
She's always there this time of day. That sounds exciting and risky, but also... I'm glad you met me.
You made reservations. They're waiting for you.
One more, and the guy had to basically drive to Hearst Castle, which was sort of a weekend-only thing, but because there was a mix-up with the first bus that we missed. They made an exception, I guess.
They were merciful.
Wow.
They were merciful. Yeah, and the guy was sort of, I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks so much for, you know, the extra effort. And he was just like, yeah, fine.
But
he didn't really care. Like, yeah, he was just like, yeah.
It's just what they tell me to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It's a lot of extra work steering the bus around that extra mile of road.
Yeah, and he was driving fast.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, to make up for lost time.
Like, will our bike stay on this?
Fingers yeah, I was crossed. Like watching him like bouncing on the front of the bus.
Do you ever worry about that? I was trying yes. to, did you write about oh, that in yeah. We Were Like Sons? Did you take a bus in We Were Like Sons? Or
so,
in life?
In ever. I have in life.
IRL, have you taken?
IRL?
In real life.
Oh.
What is that?
Oh, man.
I have.
We're old.
I feel ashamed of myself for saying that now, actually. I'm sorry.
You're so with it with the
slang speak.
Slang.
Yeah. No, but I always wonder about that when I'm taking a bus. I'm like, what's going to happen with this thing? And is the bicycle actually going to bounce out of the rack at some point?
With those like arm things that
the ones that come up and hook over your front
like
tire,
the spring arm thing
in the front of the TriMet buses.
Yeah, like I was like a little paranoid about our bikes, so I wound up bungeeing them a couple times together.
Really? They let you do that?
Yeah, they didn't even like check our bikes.
Yeah,
the couple times that we went on buses,
just did it.
We sort of just loaded them on really fast, and I don't even know if the driver ever like came up and like sort of observed what we had done. Like
right.
They could have just fallen off and gone under the bus like as he's bumping down the road.
I wonder how often that has happened.
Yeah.
Because it's a worry. But
I was paranoid about that. So I had like unhooked our brakes and like wedged that arm down as close to the frame as I could possibly get. So I wasn't going to lose our bikes.
Seriously.
If I could help it.
Like deflating the front tire and shoving it between like the fender
like,
and the rim.
Cable locking them.
I've thought about that before.
That.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a bad idea in the city. But.
Well, I'm glad that you had access to that sort of transport, because there are times and places when you're like, well, we've seen everything we want to see here. And as Tim Mooney would say, that's not cheating. It's he calls it a fast forward.
Fast forward, yes.
Yeah.
So you guys talked about, so you made reservations. So you planned for these things. What made you guys decide, okay, here's where we'll take the bus, here's where we will bike? And so
that
on
wasn't
so
necessarily
forth.
Planned. There were some things that we planned.
We had only one alternative thing to bicycling, which was a train ride through L.A.
Because who wants to
on
bike
Amtrak.
Through that?
That was the only like alternative we had planned. But
I'm good.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Well, I think if you're a purist, go you. But I think sometimes you realize like we met a lot of people biking down, and some of them were like, oh, are you? So for example, we met four British people that were biking, and then we kept running into like this other guy named Kevin who was biking.
What up, Kevin?
I know, he's great.
Kevin's a great guy.
So then we would always end up at the same campsite like a few days in a row. And so they would talk about, oh yeah, like they're all going to San Diego, or most of them were. They talked about how San Francisco is having Hardly Strictly, which is a free bluegrass festival.
Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Okay. So this is a great show.
Yes.
Everyone needs to go every year.
Cake was playing.
Really?
Wait, so, at a bluegrass?
Wait for it. The title.
Go. No, you go
so
for it.
So it's Hardly Strictly Bluegrass. So some of the bands are Hardly Bluegrass and some are Strictly Bluegrass.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's cool. I'm going to botch the history so y'all can Google it. But basically there's this guy that had a ton of money. He really wanted music and like to be part of the culture. And so when he died, they started a foundation. And so this foundation puts on free shows every year, this Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival. And so it's free. You can bring animals. They have tons of different bands. It's 3 days.
It's like 5 different stages
in San Francisco.
All around Golden Gate Park.
They have a bike valet.
Really?
Ooh, so you can drop off your bike and it's free, and they'll watch your bike for you and then come pick it up.
That's rad.
Done. Yeah, because they want people to bike. They want you to drive.
Were you in town for this thing then?
So we
decided that we were close to it, so we needed to allow the interruption of life.
Yes.
And so we decided to stay an extra day so we could go.
Oh,
which
nice.
Means we had to make up a day somewhere. So we needed to take a bus and kind of arrange our lives.
Right, because you have so much time.
Yeah, well, and you need to allow for interruption. That's where the adventure is.
Right.
If it's totally planned, you're going to miss out on things that you didn't realize were there.
For sure. And there are a lot of stories, I think, of people who maybe chose the schedule and then later regretted that. And I'm pretty sure that's part of Adele and my stories from some of our tours. It's like, oh, we have to be here at a certain time. and we're not going to take a bus.
That's been my takeaway of just about any like travel log, well, bike travel log, or like anybody who I've seen speak, you know, about traveling by bike is like, don't let the mileage be your dictator.
Right.
You
know?
Don't let the bike be your dictator.
Or mm-hmm. your bike, yeah.
It's like the adventure. Let that be what it is. And if that means getting on a bus sometimes, then it means getting on a bus sometimes.
Thank you, Mr. Hartley Strickland.
Especially if you're going to watch Cake. Yeah.
Yeah. They also had Emmylou Harris. Just some
What a great mix.
I know. It was... And then there was this like fun old... We watched one where it was like these two old guys and they were awesome. It was called Eggs Over Easy.
Eggs Over Easy.
Totally bluegrass. Great vibe. Yeah, like, it was really fun to just like sit and listen to them because they had like different size stages. Some were smaller, some were larger.
Yeah,
But it was, and it's one of the few shows that you can bring animals into.
Right, because that's a very limiting factor a lot of the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you did not tour with your animal. You have a dog named Jack.
Unfortunately, we did not.
No,
no.
But you could have if you'd wanted to.
Yes, there would have been a way.
Oh, to bring him on the tour. No.
People have done it.
You know, we rode past a couple on our way into Monterey, and they had like what had to have been like an 80-pound dog, and the guy was pulling a trailer with what looked like, you know, those dog igloos. They call them dog glues.
Yeah.
So they had like a dog igloo on a trailer, and the dog was just kind of like, his head was just popping out, like just kind of looking around, and they were just sort of going at their pace, bringing their dog along, you know.
We encountered someone similar to that coming out of San Fran.
I don't remember.
Really, it was like a German Shepherd or something like that, but a larger dog, like on a bob trailer.
And you wouldn't expect that, right?
Are those the folks we met at that campsite? Half Moon Bay?
No, it was on our way to Half Moon.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because we were going up that like really steep hill, and we were going slow enough that the dog like kept getting off the trailer.
Oh, that's right.
Like,
yeah,
walking along.
And that seems to me would be the danger of traveling with an animal, is that like they wouldn't quite understand the physics. Yeah,
of stay in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We've
experienced that
with our dog.
Jack has jumped out before.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulled Aaron.
How big is Jack?
He's a 50-pound dog. He's a medium-sized dog.
Yeah. It's about two hands.
But that's, I mean, two hands high.
Three hands.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's for putting on a bike. Like, it's a pretty big dog.
That would have been a haul. We would have, we wouldn't have been able to take buses, probably, at that point.
Oh, right.
Unless, I mean, I don't know if Amtrak allows you to just take your dog on the train.
Unless it's a service animal, I think it needs to be crated.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it could be a service animal.
Aw, shucks.
But anyway.
Yeah. But it seems like you had a fine time doing what you did. I'm curious, what are some of the things that really stick out? Like, what are some of the, I mean, obviously there are so many things. You can't summarize the entire tour in the time we have tonight. But what are some memories that stick out as like, this is pretty rad? If you could use another word.
You know, honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is meeting other people who are touring sort of at their own pace or with a group or for whatever reason. Everybody's got a story, and you guys know, like, the question everybody asks you as you're going through town, or if you see cyclists, or even if you see people who are familiar with touring cyclists, the question is, you know, where are you headed, or where'd you start, or how far are you going, and that sort of thing. And so you sort of like rehearse these things, but then you start to interact with people who are also doing sort of the same type of trip that you're doing. So you see them going down the road, and you get to have more than that surface level conversation with these people. So for us, what we've deemed chapter two of our trip, which was like basically Brookings, Oregon to San Francisco, which was probably 7 or 8 days, I think.
The second act.
Act two.
Lots
of acts. Our trips synced up really well with several other people. So we would see them when we would roll in, you know, one night to camp somewhere. We would maybe say hi, you know, talk about how the ride was. Everybody would go to bed. People would roll out at their own leisure the next morning. And then you'd see them like that following evening at the next site, because of how well those campgrounds are spaced out with the hiker biker option. So, that was really fun to kind of share that with other people. And I was kind of surprised. I wasn't expecting to, to almost be riding with other people for a segment. I assumed it would just be us, and maybe we would see people out there, maybe not. But, I mean, at least a good four or five sites had, like, at least a couple dozen cyclists in, like, I mean, Veterans Memorial in Monterey, Samuel P. Taylor, just outside of Point Reyes, and then in the Redwoods, there were a lot of cyclists there too. So that was really fun. That was
fairly
fun
social,
like,
experience.
Yeah, for the social experience. Yeah, to get to do it all together, kind of thing. So
nice.
I had two main things, I think, that kind of, one word, we're going to talk about hills.
Yes.
In a second. And I forgot what the other one was, and it'll come back. Oh, nature.
Okay, there we go.
Nature. So one, I would say, you know, I've never been on my bike for that long of a period of time, so many days in a row, with lots of hills every single day. And so day three was a rough day for me. I think I yelled at a hill at one point.
How did it respond?
It didn't.
Continued
kind
to incline.
Stoic, kind of quiet and stoic hill.
Made it even worse.
But it makes you feel better.
Yeah,
you know,
it did.
Moment.
I was
yeah.
just so mad. So I learned a lot about myself when it comes to hills, because hills are inevitable, especially when you're going on the one, because
yeah.
like the whole thing is going up and down, up and down, up and down. But I realized that it's just how you're at it. It's life metaphor come in. It's corny. But I realized that just how I chose to approach them changed everything. So I was really frustrated because I just hated being in pain for long periods of time. But then when you just come to say, like, wow, this is like a privilege and a blessing that I can even do this, it like totally changed my attitude towards hills, where they still were not necessarily like my favorite, but I found ways to like enjoy them and to not like hate them. Because if
there
you like
go.
Hate them, you're going to really hate a lot of the trip. Yeah. You probably aren't going to enjoy any of it, actually. And so I had to find a way to just like come to accept it, you know?
Sure.
And I knew that that was going to be a struggle, but I think, but it ended up being a really good, like, oh, okay, like, I can do this. I'm just going to take my good old sweet time and be in granny for a while.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So I think it was like getting like at one with my bike on all types of terrain.
There we go.
And with myself.
Nice.
Corny moment. Two, nature. I've never been in nature that much in my life. I mean, like camping that many days in a row, or it was interesting because like I would listen to like podcasts the second half of the day, or books. I listened to a lot of books. On,
sounds like you took a tip from Adele.
I did. Adele told me, embrace it in the morning and then listen to stuff in the afternoon.
Escape in the evening.
Yeah. And it was spot on. But because when you're biking, there's so much beauty, like when, especially like when we were biking through Big Sur. I mean, there's like a, you never know, like you're going to turn around a corner and be like, oh my gosh, this is so pretty. And so I felt like it was the most I've ever been in nature, but also the most I've been able to really appreciate it at a slower pace. Because when you're on a bike, it's way different than when you're in a car. And
yeah,
you can just like
definitely.
Step off. Like I was like, I'm going to stop here and like take a photo or just like take it in. And there were a couple times where I was like, I need to turn off all the noise, like just the book, because I just need to take in like the expanse of what I'm seeing, which is really different than when you're in a car. Because you're just, like, outside, you're feeling it, wind. I mean, it's just, like, all there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was really interesting because I grew up in, my parents were not, like, outdoorsy people. I lived in Michigan for a while.
Yeah.
We didn't do much outside, though.
You don't go outside don't, in Michigan.
It's cold. Or it's humid and gross.
Yeah. And most of outside is about the same, right?
It was a swamp. It was originally a swamp.
Yeah, so it was kind of, like, a great time to, like, I don't know. I just felt like I became one with the world.
Nice.
With nature. So
very
like
good.
Hills and nature. It was very, very good.
Excellent.
So
I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should get to, you alluded to it, but how about the shit? How about what was bad? We heard about the broken spoke. What else was challenging?
I mean, you're still married, so
right?
there's that.
I mean, this was like the challenge of like, if we can get through basically a month of biking together, we can get through probably anything. So
yeah.
I feel like that worked.
Until we ride the tandem.
Oh.
The tandem tour.
Really? You're going to do that to yourselves?
I did not agree to that.
Only if the lady goes in front.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You want a captain?
Yep.
Captain that tandem?
I think there should be more lady stokers in these heterosexual pairs.
Yes.
I think we need people who, men who are willing to take the back seat and just stoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means, but stoke away, men.
Right.
As far as things that. I mean, this wasn't really a bad thing. This was sort of I wanted
challenges.
To I wanted to share this story. It was about sort of a disgruntled motorist.
You can just say motorist.
So he was a motorist. And
they're all disgruntled.
We were.
It's a redundancy.
Okay, so if you've ever been on the coastal route, then you know that there are many much of that route. There's almost no shoulder, so right. you're sort of veering into traffic. Well, whether or not it's traffic is one thing, but like you're in the road, like you're having to take the lane in some instances, especially going downhill because it's just not safe to ride so close to the barrier.
Right.
On the side. So we were. We were just south of Big Sur. We had just gone over the Bixby Bridge, which is that old historical bridge, and a lot of people had pulled off into a turnout to like take pictures from the south side of the bridge. So I had stopped, and I was looking back at the bridge, and I hear sort of someone shuffling their feet, and I look over to my left, and this guy is avoiding getting hit by a car that's backing out. And he's just a guy who had just parked. He is the motorist, by the way. So motorist is just avoiding getting hit by another motorist, walks behind me and comes to my right. So now the car that almost hits him is to my left. I'm in the middle and he's to my right.
You are stopped.
I'm stopped. Yeah.
Still straddling your bike?
I'm straddling my bike, just sort of like taking it in, right?
What's
like
going to happen here?
Enjoying what the area had to offer, and then noticing this thing that happened. So the guy is giving the driver dirty looks, and the driver's just like, "Oh, so sorry, you know, like didn't see you. It's a really tight park," and it really was. I mean, it was like kind of like a tight area. Like you're not really supposed to park in some of these areas. And then the guy says, "So I'm sure by now you've realized how stupid that is."
To you, he's saying that.
So he says this out loud, and he says it, and I look to my left, and the car is gone. And so I look back to my right.
Who is he talking to?
And
oh, okay.
And yeah. I realize he's talking to me, and I realize he's talking about me riding my bike on the road. And I'm thinking he's probably annoyed that he almost got hit. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I said, "Well, you know, riding your bike can be dangerous," and I acknowledged that. And I was about to say something
that's
like,
"That's so good of you."
And I was about to say something like, "You know, just like driving a car down the road can be dangerous." But right. he stopped me and he said, "Look, buddy, do the math. It's, you know, all it takes is one RV that just like isn't paying attention." Which to me, like, first of all, buddy is sort of a trigger word. Anytime somebody says buddy.
Don't call me buddy, friend.
It's obvious that they're not actually your buddy.
Right,
This is a word that is meant to sort of patronize and condescend.
Indeed.
So he said that, and I was sort of like, okay, I see what you're getting at in the tone of his voice. And I realized, like, so we're sort of talking back and forth, and I'm saying, well, that's why we're all supposed to share the road and
which
like
you loved,
allow
right?
each other, because everyone out there is like a tourist anyway. Like nobody's commuting on these. I mean, seldom do you find somebody who's commuting on these
I
roads.
I just commute through Big Sur.
Right. But he wasn't having it. And he was getting a little annoyed. And I was sort of like, I was getting flustered, but not wanting this to like blow up into anything real. So sure. I sort of just held my tongue.
So you just headbutted him, right?
Right. I got off my, but it was one of those things where after that, like I was so bothered by his idea of what a road is meant for. And like for the next like 2 hours, I was thinking of all of the one-liners that, that I wanted to say.
Yeah,
and
I'm right there.
Said this.
I was right there with you.
Oh, my adrenaline was pumping. I don't even remember the rest of that ride. There might've been hills. It might've been, I don't remember any of them.
Anger is your stoke monkey.
Yeah. But we didn't have any real altercations with cars. I don't mm-hmm. think.
That's good. Just with egos.
Just with that.
Yeah.
Motorist's ego.
Right.
So.
What about each other? Like, can I dig up some?
Oh, yeah, dig
some,
it.
Yeah.
So I think Adele also mentioned this. I think I'm similar with her. Maybe not. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brock. But I realized that when I would get frustrated at the hills or something, I would just get pissed at Aaron. But not like I would take it out on Aaron necessarily.
Stupid man, making me do this stupid trip.
Maybe with tone, maybe. Yeah. But I found that I would like the anger instead. I'm like, really? I guess I just project a lot. Didn't realize that. So I think I found myself being annoyed, and then I had to check myself and be like, he didn't do anything. He's just riding in front of you right now. Not saying a thing. And so I learned
a lot
about...
But he's in front of you! Ugh!
I know. Yeah. Especially on hills, I just had to accept that he's going to be really far ahead of me.
Okay.
I'm going to say because he has a better bike, but it's just because I'm really slow on hills.
It could be anything.
But I mean, I felt like for the most part, we got along pretty well.
That's good.
That's good.
Not that I was assuming we wouldn't get along. Right. But I mean...
But the pressures of the road can make it tough.
Yeah, they definitely can.
I mean, yes, for sure. But I don't feel like we have very many. I feel like in the beginning, because one, didn't train for this. And so the first few days we had pretty high mileage. And I think that at first I was mad about that.
Okay.
Because I wasn't ready. And so then I was like, internally and maybe sometimes externally. But then again, it's just like, you just have to get, you need like at least 4 days, I think, to get into the mindset of like, I'm biking 5 to 8 hours a day, depending on how much we're riding, and getting like mentally prepared for that and having your body get used to it.
Takes a while to get into the second act.
Yeah. We had 5 acts, but
nice.
Second act was the, you know, got you really into it. I think
like that was the longest.
Yeah.
Act. Yeah. Longest act.
It usually is.
Yeah. I was just thinking like in a Shakespearean. Anyways.
Nice.
What about you?
I can't think of anything.
The horrible things
that I did. We never, like, there was never, like, any fighting. Like, it was really, like, it was fun to...
Nobody, like, just threw down, like, the camp stove.
Damn it!
No, I quit. Sorry. I wish we had more drama for you.
Yeah, you know,
we're
like,
not delivering.
It's, we were drink. Well, we had alcohol, like, every night. So
that helps, right?
Probably that's why we didn't.
It tamps it right on down.
Yeah. I just want a beer.
Hey,
that's right.
Folks, your marriage not going well? Try alcohol.
True story, I may or may not have carried for 30 miles a 5-liter box of Franzia wine.
Ooh.
On my bike.
Nice. Is this because there was no Franzia available at the endpoint?
Well, there was. Well, I don't know. Franzia was available.
Franzia has never been a first choice. Let's just put that out there really quickly.
Right.
This is our first time with Franzia.
Yeah.
How was it?
As opposed to like a bottle, I guess it would make sense, right?
Yeah. Well,
box wine is brilliant. Take it out of the box.
You take it out. It's just a pouch. And you can fit it into your bag anywhere.
Yeah. An Australian taught us that on day one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we met up at... Where were
Willamette
we?
Mission.
Willamette Mission.
Yeah. You want some booze? Tuck it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just like, yeah, it fits in there just like laundry does.
Well, we're going to have a party with, not a party, but.
Not a party.
Basically, the people that we've been traveling with.
Yeah.
We were going to Standishickey, actually, and we're like, let's just buy a lot of wine, and then we'll share it with the people at our campsite.
Yeah, we knew for a fact that there would be at least 7 other, I think.
Oh, nice.
Well, 5 to 7 other cyclists there whom we had been seeing. This is Act 2.
Standishickey State Park.
Standishickey.
Which is great.
Just
a great name.
North
swimming
of
hole.
Leggett.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The swimming hole. That was fantastic.
Not a lake. Swimming hole.
Yes.
Yeah, it's connected
to
a
river. It's
just a
hole with some water in it. Don't know where it came from.
Cliff jumping. Didn't do it because I'm too old and I'm too scared that I'm going to break a bone.
Yeah.
But you can do that there.
Yeah, the water was pretty cold.
Yeah. There ended up being, like, right across the street, a place to buy alcohol, which we did not know.
Right.
So Aaron got to carry some Franzia, a good 5 liters.
I'm
for
impressed.
30 miles. Yeah.
That was well fought and hard won.
It made for a good night for everybody to just be able to, like, have a little wine and hang out at our table and talk. I mean, that's really what it ended up being. Mm-hmm. Like, we just sort of talked. And
that's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys were approaching the social aspect of it that way. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Maybe in way of wrapping up, expectations. So, Jada, you had planned on doing this at some point before. And, Aaron, you've done a few of these bike tours. how did it stand up compared to what you were expecting?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I'm like, verbal process, go. I honestly didn't have very many. Honestly, I think the thing that I thought I was going to struggle with was just having so much downtime being on my bike. I've never had that much time to just be,
okay,
basically. So I was just more curious about that because I'm a pretty busy body and I'm a doer. So it was like the first time for me to really just chill while moving, obviously, for like 5 hours a day. So I found that I ended up liking it, though. I enjoyed listening to books on tape. I enjoyed having the downtime and, like, I think it was like recentering.
Yeah.
I think if I could do it, if we did it again, I would not have an end destination.
Okay.
I would actually say if we decide, like, what if we wanted to stay longer in a certain place, then we don't have to worry about getting to our end destination because we already had bought tickets out of San Diego.
Oh,
so you
yeah.
never make it farther than Klamath Falls.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hope but we it get was, past well, that. Yeah, exactly.
But it was like, a 2-week trip because you had all these other adventures around.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then we could have, like, maybe we would have just ended in L.A. I don't know. That was one thing that I ended up when we met people that I liked because it allows for more change if something cool comes up.
Yeah.
So I think that was, I'm a planner in general, but I realize maybe that's not helpful.
That's a big change there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was really great. I had a great time. I enjoyed like biking more than I didn't know what I'd think. So, but I was like, will this hurt? I don't know.
Yeah.
It actually wasn't that bad.
Very good. Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Aaron?
I think that, Brock, and you mentioned something about this earlier, and Aaron, you guys were talking about just getting into the mindset that you need to, like, sort of devour mileage in order for it to, like, sort of count and to be the bike tour. And I like, every other bike tour I've been on, I felt that sense of, like, responsibility. Like, I need to ride a certain amount. Or, like, it's almost like it's work.
Yeah.
Like, you wake up, you pack up, you ride.
This is your job for the day.
It's your job. Yeah. And
you clock in by getting on your bike. And,
yeah. And I think maybe subconsciously I expected to be doing, I don't know. I don't think I expected to stop as much as we did. But that is always something that I had, like, wanted to do more on my bike tours, like, to stop and enjoy the flowers kind of thing. And but my natural tendency is to push through and to, like, finish the work, you know, because, like, whatever, you know, I don't know where that comes from, but, like,
carpentry.
Making it happen.
Right. Like, I think my expectations were a little bit, changed I was pleasantly surprised, when we would stop and when we would allow ourselves to just hang out or, like, get another beer somewhere or like, you know, get a bus somewhere and not do the ride. Like, it's always oddly freeing when you allow yourself that, like, that when you're like, I don't need to ride,
right,
know, kind of thing. So,
and for the right person on the right tour, it's all about that flexibility.
Yeah, yeah.
About that, you know, what does the future hold? We don't know. Let's find out.
Right, and if your goal is to ride the whole coast, then that's a great and fine goal.
Then you should do that.
Yeah. I don't think that we ever explicitly set out with, like, hey, this is something we have, like, here are things we have to do.
Right.
I think we just, like, we knew we had to get to San Diego. That was pretty much it. And we wanted to stop at a handful of places along the way.
For sure. And you did.
And we did.
Yeah.
That we did.
Well, yeah. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're back in one piece. Glad you had a good time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking about it with us.
Thank you, guys.
Do you have time to hang out with us for our mail-in news?
Of course.
Fabulous.
Yay.
Here come our headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as you can into the morning.
All night. Right. We have a calendar.
Can't wait till we can plug in that.
Me too.
Yeah, so on the calendar, currently happening and all the way through October. Until the 30th, Drew the Welder, whose name I'm sure you've heard us read.
That's right.
could also be called Drew the Watercolorist.
Ooh.
Because
Drew the welder of color.
Drew the Watercolorist has some watercolors on display over at Crema.
Yes.
Which is a cafe on Ankeny and 26.
Right here in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself in Portland residents or people who are in Portland in this time, if you find yourself in that area, go check them out.
Yeah. And I have not been there yet, but I go by that every day. So I should go in sometime
soon. You have no excuse. Then.
I know, right?
Get a pastry, too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Their pastries are on point. Yeah.
October 21st to 23rd, Freak Bike Fall. You want to see custom bike rigs and tall bikes and other freak bikes doing cool things? Then
yeah.
It's time for that to happen in autumn.
And right in the middle of that.
Yes.
The disaster relief trials.
That is this coming weekend.
And we finally did it, didn't we?
In which you and I will be competing.
Yes.
And we have yet to secure a team member. We need one more team member. For Team Sincerity. So I need to, we called around, asked around a couple of people. So whoever is interested, please be in touch if you hear this. If we've already got somebody, then you'll know. But if we don't, you might be it. So, yes, do you have a cargo bike or any other way to carry things? Would you like to come on a little simulation of disaster?
To which I'm out to prove that any bike can be a cargo bike.
You're just bringing your panniers.
I'm just bringing empty panniers.
Which means he's leaving the heavy lifting to me. But that's cool.
Well, no, I think we each have to, like, carry our
small
our
things
load.
Are important.
Well, that's true.
Thanks.
That's right.
Thanks.
I'm excited. So we're probably going to record what happens with that. And we are going to, we're going to have a good time. So
yes.
You'll see pictures. You'll hear audio. There will be noises and things. we may not have a third member of Team Sincerity for the Disaster Reef Trials lined up yet. But what we do have.
Oh, we're skipping our regular headlines?
Oh, whoops.
Because we've got a couple here.
Shit.
Yeah. So, first off. Sorry.
It's okay. I forgot there were headlines.
We'll edit that in post.
Of course we will.
Yes. So first off, this is sort of like word of mouth headlines.
Yes.
But worth sharing.
Headlines in your mind.
This came to us from Anna at Clever Cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we all know who that is.
Wait, who?
Anna. She works at Clever Cycles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know.
No.
It's my girlfriend.
Just kidding.
But I'm done.
Anyways, so she passes on that listener Robert in Virginia bought a Brompton from them. Her coworker Justin was on the phone, and like she heard sort of his end of the conversation. And so this is something she had texted to me. A dude in Virginia told Justin he would have never known about Clever or Bromptons if it wasn't for the sprocket.
Oh.
You basically just sold a fucking Brompton.
Well, thanks, Robert. I'm glad you have a Brompton.
Yes.
That's a folding bicycle from England, from Portland, to you.
Shout out to Robert in Virginia.
That's the guy.
Thanks for listening, and I'm glad you went with Clever for your Brompton
needs.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
cool.
I'm glad you went with a Brompton for your bicycle needs.
Too. Mm-hmm. And next.
Next, from the LA Times, this comes to us from Todd. On the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, bicycles take over Tel Aviv, while religious Jews dressed in holiday whites hurry to synagogue to start atoning for the past year's sins. A secular ritual is also beginning. Parents lug bicycles out of basement bomb shelters. Children pop their heads out in between parked cars to see if it is finally safe to go into the road. The echo of car horns is replaced by the pinging of bicycle bells. Israel has no laws banning driving on Yom Kippur, but the only vehicle on the roads are ambulances and police cars. That turns the city into an enormous playground for bicycle riders, skateboarders, pedestrians, and dogs.
That's intense. And Tel Aviv, they say?
Tel Aviv.
That's
Israel.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's one of the busier cities in Israel, as
yes.
I've heard. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool article. It talks about how, like, you know, any other day of the week, the like people can't even, you know, walk across the street.
Right.
You know?
Can't get a foot in edgewise.
Yes.
And yet here they are riding bikes in the street. Like they ought to be.
A veritable playground,
that's
like they said.
That's pretty fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Well, we may not have a secular holiday for bicycles here in the United States, but you know what we do have?
It's called pedal poop.
Hey, we got mail.
Yes.
Yes.
First up from Joseph F. in Gainesville, Florida.
Gainesville.
In Gainesville, he says, good morning. I remember hearing on episode 316, possibly, that folks could submit calendar events from across the nation.
Anywhere in the world.
Or the globe, yes. If so, I would like to submit our second annual Menagerie in Motion Kinetic Derby.
Kinetic Derby.
Yes, part parade, part design challenge, part art, and all human-powered fun.
Which is rad.
Time to start your build now. Yes, on the calendar itself, if you just look up, what is that, Menagerie in Motion, there's a big, like, you go onto the website and there's a big countdown. I believe it's in February. So yes, start your build now, he says.
Gives you some time to get your thing together.
Yes.
That's a great title, Menagerie.
Yeah.
Menagerie in Motion. and he links us to a couple of videos. The second year event will expand multiple days as well by combining with Active Streets Gainesville the following day, which is similar to their our Sunday Parkways.
Here in Portland.
Yes. Also, we'll be providing a few workshops this year in the lead up to the event to remove barriers to entry, like folks not knowing how to weld or those needing engineering or artistic help.
That's fantastic.
And I love the show.
Oh, thanks, Joseph. So this is the cool thing, is that you don't even have to be a welder in order to build this kinetic sculpture.
Nope.
I think, is it Corvallis, Oregon, I think also has a kinetic sculpture event. It's weird bikes that are weird pedal-powered machines that people weld together on their own. Very cool. Very cool. I didn't know it happened in Florida. It does.
Yeah.
It's on our calendar.
Honestly, like when I read it, I somehow missed the Gainesville detail.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought it was like advertising something here, like in Portland.
How could that happen elsewhere than Portland?
Right, exactly. Because that's the bubble I live in.
Right. If either of you could design your own bicycle, you could be any shape it needs to be, what would it look like?
Or kinetic motion machine.
Yes.
Oh, man. Honestly, I would probably go for like a functionally, as opposed to form,
like a cycle truck.
Yes, something like that.
Something to carry
something
your
that could haul
lumber on.
Something that could haul a lot of stuff.
Okay, yeah. Jada,
I have no idea.
An enormous pulley that would reduce the amount of work you have to do to go up hills.
A bike that's a smoothie machine. Where you pedal and it like blends your smoothie.
Ooh. So you'd make one of these.
But maybe I don't think you can ride the bike and smoothie at the same time.
So maybe I would create that.
Ah, yes. There we go. Perfect.
Margarita machine.
Yes.
Blended.
That's fantastic.
Basically any bike that makes food on it, that produces food, that's genius.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Grilled by smoothie by bike.
I like it.
Next up.
Next up from EJ, no, from Harry in Walnut Creek, California. Hi, Brock. You and Aaron do a bang-up job with this podcast. Bow, bow, bow. Thank you very much. I found your podcast via Logan Smith. Thank you, Logan. He figured I'd dig it since I love bikes. I work at a bank Mondays through Fridays, but at a bike shop on Saturdays. I've been doing that for the last 8 years. Also, my wife is from St. Helens. She loves beer, and you always make mention of something tasty at the beer mongers, and we'll have to take her by there.
Oh, thanks.
Lastly, my old GM at the shop moved to Portland and opened Ravello.
Right. That's that. Yes, it's a great little shop. Yeah,
we've so, yet to have him in. But
you could probably guess which shop he spends his time doing bicycle shop work at. We won't say which one that is, because I don't know if we have permission to out him.
I don't know
him,
if we do either.
But yes, but Walnut Creek, California, we'll say that.
If you know of a shop in Walnut Creek, California,
they make fine things.
Yes.
So, yes, he actually has patches coming for everyone in his shop, because he is one of our fine donors who we forgot to mention for some time. So,
yes.
Harry, sorry.
I apparently mispronounced at one point.
We're getting there. He wasn't too sore about it.
Okay, next up from EJ Finneran. After listening to episode 321, I thought you and your listeners might enjoy some of the talks that Jeff Speck had given at TED and other conferences.
Smart thoughts.
Every time like TED comes up, I always like think of a person named TED.
Yes.
Like
all those TED talks. That TED guy is pretty smart.
And originally when I read this, it's like, that Jeff Speck has given at Ted. And I'm like, you mean given to Ted?
No, he's given them at Ted. Ted. Ted gets a lot of things spoken at him.
He's an urban planner, and that is a big proponent of walkable cities. I put together a YouTube playlist in order of how wonky the talk is.
Nice.
And we'll link to that. Basically, the videos are, one, why walkable cities are good, two, here's how you do it, and three, here's a two-hour talk that goes into a lot of detail on implementation.
Implementation. That is wonky.
Yes.
So, yes. But thank you, EJ. We're going to we'll post that up here, and I'll watch at least one of them. I don't know how wonky I can get, but we'll see.
I will. Yes. I was going to say I will at least watch the first. I could see.
I know why walkable cities are good.
One and two.
How you do it sounds great. And as much implementation. I don't know if I have 2 hours to give to implementation, but I would like to know more.
Streetlights or lamps.
That's
right. That's one way you do it.
Gas lamps.
How high you make them.
Mm-hmm. And tall bikes to light them with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got a nice little picture
and
here from
lastly,
Rich.
Yes, from Rich Otterstrom sends to us, thanks, Brock and Aaron, for the cool patch. Goes great on my commuter bag.
It is an approved place
right
on
there.
His bag.
Very good. I also like the patch underneath it is living the fucking dream.
That's right.
With a bicycle and a little little bindle attached to it.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's fantastic. So, yes, thank you all.
I bet there's beans in those bindle.
I sure hope so.
Yes.
This is from Ethan Georgie.
Oh.
Yes.
This one.
About the secret audio that we released from Jude Garris.
Oh, right. Dirigibles.
Yes. Dirigibles. From February. Ethan said at 5:16 a.m. Pacific, 8:16 Eastern time, he said, screaming at my desk while you go on about dirigibles. They are still being used, not for public transport, but for freight. With the rising cost of fuels, they may be slower, but will work well to remote places like Northern Alaska. Keep up the good work and enjoy your new podcast space. Ethan Georgie.
Thank you.
So we have, in fact, upset him about the presence of dirigibles. These 9 months later, he is passionately, he's saying, hey, these things exist.
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
No, I haven't seen a dirigible.
I don't know
either.
About you, but I haven't seen dirigible's birth certificate.
It's an entirely different question where they came from. It's where they're going. That's important.
I have no idea either.
Confusion things.
You know, like the blimp?
Oh, yeah.
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 Like, it's apparently, called, yeah.
Dirigible?
Dirigible, yeah. A blimp is one form.
Or airship.
Yes.
Oh.
So all blimps are dirigibles, but not all dirigibles are blimps.
Okay.
It's a great word, dirigibles.
Yes. I think it was Dude Luna who said on Twitter, I don't think I've ever heard the word dirigible said aloud.
Right.
Now you have, sir. Now you have.
And now I'm sure you're tired of hearing it.
Dirigible, dirigible, dirigible. And then it shows up, right? All right. Well, let's close this whole thing out. Thank you again, Aaron, Jada.
Yeah,
thank you for being
here. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks.
You both have patches.
We do.
You'll wear them proudly in an approved location on your clothing.
We will.
Fabulous. All right.
You have mentioned the approved places we will use.
Whoops. That's the wrong. Here we go. Here comes our thing. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellumgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt,
Zoe Campagna, Dave Knows, Chris Smith,
Christy Kaster, Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley,
Peanut Butter Jar, Matt, Patrick R. Chain, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, King of Division,
Josh Zissen, Richard G., Guthrie Straw,
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green,
he's right here in the room, Mac Nurse David, Catherine Minchin, Nathan Poulton,
Chris Rossin, Rory Close, Michael Flournoy,
Jeremy Kitchen, David Belays, Tim Coleman, Mr. T.
T,
yes,
Harry Hugel, Ed Whitman,
EJ Finneran, and Paul Coberson, if that's really your
name.
Thank
you. That's right. When did we add Mr. T?
Mr. T. That's the man. That's the man who wants to be known as Mr. T.
Mr. T. And all of our former donors who helped us get this far.
That's right.
Now brush your teeth
and go to bed.